You're listening to 104.3 and 104.7 KHUM, Cotton, Eureka, Arcata, and streaming to the world over at khum.com. Right now, I am super pleased to have Roger Wang on the phone. How's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Bailey?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for calling in to talk a little bit about microaggressions. HSU started these workshops a little while ago. Was it over the summer, whenever they began?
It started last spring. I was actually finishing up my graduate program, and I needed to do a practicum, and I worked with Christine Mata, who's the Associate Dean of Students here, and she did a similar presentation when she was working at UCLA, and we had noticed, you know, that there was a lot of things going on in the community and on our campus, and that this was a way to kind of start educating people about this and hopefully kind of get people to know what microaggressions are and have different ways to kind of address them in their daily lives.
Yeah, a lot of people don't seem to be aware as to what exactly microaggressions are. Do you want to give a quick rundown?
And so, microaggressions is really talking about subtle forms of racism, and it's not necessarily racism either. It can apply to different sorts of isms and different subordinated categories. We often focus on race when we're talking about microaggressions because it's the most salient identity that we have. But microaggressions are slights, indignities, put-downs, insults that people of color, women, LGBT population, other marginalized people experience in their day-to-day interactions. They can appear to be a compliment, but contain a meta communication or a hidden insult to the target group to which it's delivered. And so they're often outside the level of consciousness, awareness of the perpetrator, which means they're often unintentional. And so an example of this is I'm Asian American, and messages that sometimes I'll get is, the question, well, you speak English very well, or persistence questions of, like, where am I from? I get those questions sometimes. And I actually grew up speaking English. It's my first language. I earned my bachelor's degree in English, and I was born and raised in San Jose, California. But the implication, the meta communication, is that because I'm Asian, it's because I'm not born here, right? And that I don't belong.
And they're trying to say that you're not an American, which is kind of crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, I'm a U.S. citizen. I've been born here. I identify as American, but it's that assumption because I'm Asian that that I'm not from here, which isn't the case.
So what are some of the steps that people can take to counter microaggressions and identify them?
I think that's part of it, is really understanding what microaggressions are. I think we're used to thinking of racism or racist as like the Jim Crow era or like current day Nazis or KKK or the different kind of movements that are going around in our country right now. And while these are, definitely overt forms of racism, people saying racial epithets or claiming white supremacy, we live in a system that systematically advantages certain people because of their skin color, because of their gender, because of their sexuality, whatever it is. And so, and for racism, you can see it affects, impacts our societal institutions like housing, employment, education. And so the important thing is to realize that racism it's not just this overt forms of racism, but it's, the covert racism, colorblind racism. It's much more subtle, but it still reinforces the idea of white supremacy or that certain groups are better than others. And so really educating yourself on these topics, educating yourself on microaggressions and how subtle they can be, and really realizing that it can impact communication and can shut down communication. So I think that's, one step is to just educate yourself on microaggressions and racism, sexism, heterosexism, all those different kind of isms.
I was going to say, so if somebody is says a microaggression either to you or to somebody that you witness it, what can we do?
I think one way is to make what's invisible visible, and so naming what happened, right? And so usually these things are unintentional, and so letting somebody know, hey, when you ask me, where I'm from, or, that I speak English very well, it's just letting them know, like, hey, when you say that, you're implying, whether you mean it or not, that you're implying that I don't speak English well. Is it because of my race. And so really sometimes asking questions, probing questions can be really helpful.
And that gets them to
think about it. Yeah, just kind of realize, okay, well, I didn't really mean that, and so I should kind of think of what I'm saying and everything. I think it's important to focus on the impact of people's words and what they're saying and not necessarily the intentions. We're not saying, you know, people are bad because they're saying these things. I'm guilty of saying microaggressions myself, and, we're not trying to say. I think the worst thing you can do to shut down a conversation is just saying, like, oh, you're racist because you said that, right? It might be true. It might not be true, but that really just shuts down conversations. People get really defensive, and it's really easy to say, well, I'm not racist because X, Y, and Z. But having that conversation is, well, what you said had the impact that, you know, that was kind of racist and everything like that. So I want to talk about what you actually said. I'm not trying to say you're racist or anything like that, but what you said had an impact, and that was kind of the impact it had on me or this community or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, and it's so ingrained in a lot of our culture. We have to basically change it and make a cultural change. Because I notice it in my, especially self-derogatory things. Growing up in West Virginia, sometimes I'll say, like, oh, I'm a pretty good driver for a woman, and I've gotten called out for that before.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's internalized, you know, those ideas that we have. And so, again, it kind of goes back to education and being open. You know, I'm guilty of... with microaggressions and saying those same things and being okay with being wrong and saying, you know what, I did say something wrong, you know, I'll think about, you know, how can I say, like, I'm a bad driver without putting a whole group down?
Yeah. Well, is there anything else that we could do? What if you call somebody out and they proceed to be very defensive or aggressive about it?
I think that's important to recognize is that it's not always safe to call somebody out, I guess, if that's what you want to use the term. You know, I think in reality, right, we live in a complicated world, and sometimes the person who's saying something is maybe your boss, or maybe it's somebody who's above you at work, or maybe you're on a bus and the person just doesn't seem like they're safe or for whatever reason, everything like that. And, you know, sometimes it's okay just to, you know, not address it because you're worried about your own safety. I think in those situations too, you can, if you're witnessing somebody, berating somebody else and you don't feel comfortable, you know, stopping it right in that moment, is at least checking in with that person they berated and talking to the victim and saying, like, hey, that's not okay. You know, I'm here to support you, and, you know, I can't stop this person. They're going to have their own opinions or whatever like that, but, you know, I want to check in. It really depends on the situation. I don't think this is really complicated. You know, we're talking about communication and relationships. There's no right and wrong answer for just every situation and everything like that. So it's a practice kind of makes, not perfect, just makes practice makes it easier to kind of address. And so when you can is, you know, try to interrupt these things or educate people when it's safe or when you have the ability to do so.
Do you find people are very receptive whenever you educate and discuss this topic with them?
Yeah, so we have done this presentation. I think last spring we did about 8 different sessions. A lot of it was with students, staff, faculty. We did it with the Arcata Community Public Safety Task Force, I think is their title. We did it to some social workers. Mm-hmm. We're going to be doing this with Cabinet, HSU, and also the some faculty next spring. And almost every single group has been pretty responsive. We've had some people who not have been critical, but have offered, you know, different perspectives and everything like that. But we want to hear those perspectives. You know, again, I think people try to label microaggressions as, like, you know, people being the PC police or something like that. You know, that's not our goal, is to say what you can and cannot say. We really are just trying to educate people on these things, and I think people can see it. We give a lot of examples, and we try to give people, like, some takeaways in our sessions. And so people have been pretty receptive and have learned a lot from the workshops.
Are the workshops, they're just for HSU students?
You know, that's what we're trying to figure out right now. They're actually trying to hire a position here on campus to work with community members. I think they're trying to target the K-12 system. And Christine...
That would be smart, going into school.
Yeah. Yeah, it's doing some community outreach. So I know they're hiring for that right now, and I think that the idea is for that position to do some of this. It's Christine Mata and Tim Miller, who's another HSU staff member. And so we're trying to, you know, we just kind of did this because we're interested in it. We don't get paid extra or anything like that. And so we're trying to figure out how to make this more sustainable and how to reach more people. We can only do so much because, you know, this, again, isn't our full-time job. But, you know, I think that's what HSU is trying to work on, is to get this out to the community, get this out to others. So it's more beyond that. And we have done some sessions that have been open to the community, like we did one for Campus Dialogue on Race this past November.
Oh, that's really good. Awesome. Well, I really hope it comes out. And if you have any if you have any workshops for the community, please let me know, and I'll make sure to pass the word on to everybody
else.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll let you know when our next workshops are, probably for next spring.
Okay, sweet. And if people want to know more information about microaggressions and perhaps maybe how to talk to people about it, where would you send them?
Oh, man.
I know that's hard.
Yeah, no, I'd say Google, but I think you get a lot of different things. Yeah, you know, there's not a good repository for some of that information, so I don't know if I can answer your question right now. You know, if people contacted me, I'm more than happy to send the presentation that we do or talk more.
Okay, how would they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so my email is just roger.wang@humboldt.edu, so roger .wang@humboldt.edu, and so... you know, if you send me an email, I can send you the PowerPoint. More than happy to kind of share this information. Our goal, again, is really just to educate people, and we can only do so much with the time that we have. So, you know, the more that we can kind of spread this around, the better.
Okay, and I'll leave your I'll put your email address and also post this interview over at khum.com. Click the features page, and it'll be right there.
Awesome.
So people can refer to it later. Thank you so much for talking to me about this, Roger.
No problem. You have a great day, Bailey. Thanks for having me.
Of course I will. Awesome.
Bye.
Bye. And once again, that was Roger Wang, who is the Educational Opportunity Program Student Support Services Advisor over at Humboldt State. He's one of the facilitators of the microaggression training workshops at Humboldt. And as I find out when the next workshops are, I will let you know. And his email address and this interview will be over at khum.com. Click the features page. There's all the Stop the Violence interviews up there. And yeah, make sure to spread the word about it, because just everybody educating themselves on it is the only way that we're going to, you know, move forward from here. I'm going to take a short break, and then we'll get back into some more tunes here in just a couple minutes. Don't forget about the Start the Healing celebration on Saturday over at the Eureka Women's Club. Pop on over there. It's just $5, and all of the money that's raised is going to be going to a nonprofit that actively works to stop violence in our community. Going to take that short break, and we'll get back into some more tunes here in just a couple minutes. You're listening to KHUM.